Welcome to the Researcher Development Online podcast from the University of Warwick. Join me, Katie R. Mahoney, and Sue Johnston Wilder, where we talk maths anxiety for PhD researchers. Join us to find out what maths anxiety is and how you can help yourself overcome maths anxiety. Welcome to part two of our short mini-series on maths anxiety. Today I'm talking to Sue about what maths anxiety is. So Sue, that's a really good opening question, I guess, really. What is maths anxiety?
Oh, it's a specific kind of anxiety. We can get anxious about anything, can't we, if it's too challenging. And maths anxiety is acquired during your lifetime. It's not one of the anxieties we're born with, as opposed to being dropped, which is an anxiety that is innate. It's acquired during our journey through our life, and it's quite often caused by unpleasant experiences in school of being humiliated, left behind, patronized, those things which our brain doesn't like very much. And our brain warns us when we encounter maths again that this is something that was bad last time. So the anxiety system is pretty well established in our brains, and usually it's really helpful. It helps us survive.
That's really interesting. Yeah, and just the way that you said that fear of being left behind, and that's certainly something that I felt. The rest of the class sort of getting it, and I was still thinking, I don't understand what's happening here. And then the moving on to the next module or the next page, and I was still struggling on question number one and not really getting it. I didn't understand how other people could just whiz through those pages, and I was still struggling on page one. So that feeling of being left behind certainly chimes with me. So apart from that feeling of being left behind, what else causes maths anxiety?
Well, it can also be acquired from adults, because the anxiety system is such that if an adult is anxious about something, the child learns to be anxious about the same thing. And we have a lot of anxious maths parents with maths anxiety. And we have a lot of primary school teachers with maths anxiety. So the child can acquire it at home or at school from the adult around them. And in my daughter's experience, even Father Christmas had maths anxiety. So, you know, we have a lot of role models saying it's something to be anxious about. Have you experienced that as well?
So I would certainly say that as a parent myself now, I do sometimes feel, you know, my daughter comes home with maths work, and I think, oh no, this is not, I better best ask daddy on this one, because I'm not quite sure. You know, mummy's not very good at maths. So it's certainly now thinking about it, am I passing on my anxiety to my children? And so, yeah, that's interesting to say. It can be almost a learnt behaviour.
It makes sense, doesn't it, that if there's something that we should be anxious about out there, then as a survival strategy we need to pay attention so the children learn it from their elders. Absolutely. Yeah.
So is there any models or anything that you could share with us to perhaps explain how maths anxiety in kind of manifests itself?
Funny you should ask that. I've got a lovely one. So there's a neuroscientist called Daniel Siegel who's written a book called Mindsight, and there are videos of him showing this, which I hope people will have a look at after this. So he talks about the hand model of the brain, and if you imagine your brain as being modelled by your hand, and this is the two sides of the brain, when it's working well, everything's connected and talking to each other. If I just open it up temporarily, inside your brain, you have this really primitive alarm system that's shared with all the animals. And it, I mean, roughly speaking, it's located in the amygdala, but it's a very fast system. And Daniel Siegel describes this experience of being on a walk in the country with his son and suddenly pushing his son out of the way. And then the cognition kicks in and he realizes that the threat was a vicious snake that would have killed his son. But this system works more quickly than the cognition. So he's not aware of what the threat is, it just reacts. So it's a very, very fast system. And effectively, thinking part of your brain momentarily goes offline. And if you like, the maths part can be thought of, or the stats part can be thought of as happening in your fingernails. And if you calm down again, your brain comes back together, then you're able to tackle something symbolic or in words and difficult thinking. But if you're in that state of panic with your brain offline, you feel stupid. And it's a very powerful model for explaining to people why maths makes them feel stupid momentarily.
Yeah. Well, that's really interesting, because again, you know, when I think about working with my daughter on her maths, my initial is, we better study on this one because I'm not very good at maths. But actually, when we sit down together, there are things that we can do. And when we manage to get it done together, we both of us get that feeling of elation. Hey, this is good. We've done this thing, and it feels good. But it takes a moment for us to get to that point.
That moment for your brain to calm down. Absolutely. Yeah. And as you say, when you do it, when your brain is back connected again, then you can make progress.
Yeah, absolutely. So how common is this kind of maths anxiety in the population or in the people that you work with?
It's interesting, isn't it? So a student of mine did a survey in a local school, and she discovered that a quarter of the youngsters had quite severe maths anxiety, and this is in year seven, and a quarter had significant maths anxiety. So that's half the children in year seven who ideally would benefit from some kind of intervention before they went on much longer. It's difficult to say exactly how prevalent it is, because it's like a spectrum. You know, you can have absolute phobia, or you can just be a bit panicky about maths, and there's that whole range, isn't there? So I would suggest that if we use about 30% in the adult population, that would be quite a good marker. But there are places like FE College where there are resit students, where it could be as high as 70 or 80%, according to the research on the ground. And so if we don't tackle it with, for example, those research students, then their chances of progressing to get their GCSE the second time are very much reduced.
Thanks, Sue. That's a really useful overview of what maths anxiety is. And hopefully our listeners will be able to bear that in mind as they progress through all of the episodes that we're going to be recording.